I suppose we can say that we certainly live in an anxious age. A lot of changes come our way, and we're not ready for them, it seems, but that's the way the world is. If there's one thing about the world that doesn't change, is that everything keeps changing, and we usually are having to try to catch up. The world is worried, always has been, but look how people worry about things. Here's a man who has no job, and he's worried. And here's another man who has a job, and he's worried about his job. Here's a person that has no money, and he's got a lot of worries. And then he comes into a lot of money, and suddenly he's got worries again. Who's going to take it from me? How am I going to keep it? Will it last? Here's a person that's sick, and they're worried. And then there's a person that's not sick, and they're worried they're going to get sick. So how do we get away from worries? A man said, I have so many troubles that if anything happened to me today, it would take me 2 weeks before I could get around to worrying about it. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 in the American Standard, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, be not anxious. Don't worry. We like things to remain as we want them. We do have a lot of concerns. People like to remain safe. We don't want to be in danger. And so we have those problems to think about. And we want to have good health, but we realize that as time goes on, most likely the good health of whatever we had, it's going to decline. So the important thing is that don't let concerns become cares and forethoughts become fear thoughts. There are different kinds of fears that people have. You know, people worry about the past. Of course, that has to do with things that have been done, things that have been said. But past deeds can't be undone and past words can't be unsaid. But if the past involves sin, there is a solution for that. We can obtain forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The prophet said long ago in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, the things of the past, they are past. And they're behind us, and we can't do anything to change them. But we can change ourselves, and we can work to change maybe some of the consequences of the past. But that past is there. And like it says, if we've sinned, we can do something about that. Forgiveness is in Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that when God does forgive us, because we've repented and gone to him, we need to forgive ourselves. Some of the things that people have anxiety about are the things they've done in the past, and they're so sorry for it, and they've been baptized into Christ, and Christ's blood has washed them clean, and they know that God has forgiven, but they keep bringing it up to themselves and torturing themselves with it, and maybe having trouble sleeping at night because of the guilt that still remains with them. And that, of course, it's a kind of a worry. It's an anxiety, and it robs us of our peace. We need to learn to forgive ourselves and to realize that should the situation occur again, that we'd do the right thing. We also need to remember what Lloyd George said. He was Prime Minister of England many, many years ago. I have made it a practice in my life always to close the gate behind me. Otherwise, as we're going and life is occurring, close those gates. You can't go back through them anyway. Just learn as you go on not to make the same mistakes again. And of course, try to learn from the mistakes of others, because you can't live long enough to make all the mistakes. There's just too many mistakes to be made, but you can see mistakes in other people's lives and read about them in the Bible and other literature and learn, there's a mistake, I won't fall into that one. Sometimes people worry over the inevitable. That is, things that are going to happen. For instance, people worry if their children will marry. You know, we have children and you think, are they ever going to get married? And we might worry about that. And so the children get married. And then we worry about that. Are they going to stay married? Well, you worry that they would get married, and now they got married, and now you worry that they're going to stay married. People worry about dying. And no doubt that's a concern with many people, and that's something that is inevitable unless the Lord returns before that. But, you know, we can be ready for that. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul said, I'm ready. And we need to be ready, because we never know when that time will come that we may be called out of this world by something that's totally unforeseen. Or we may live a long time, but unless the Lord comes before that, we'll still leave this world. We can be ready for it. Many people worry about things that will never happen. Mark Twain said, I have worried over a great many things in life, most of which never happened. Most worries never happen. It's been said that 90% of the things that people worry about never happen. You worry about, is there going to one of the asteroids come, and is it going to hit you? As far as I know, nobody's ever been killed by an asteroid. But anyway, we can worry, but let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and following. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I think one of the things that cause people such anxiety, especially when they're thinking about the future, is they're looking at maybe like the whole future, you know, from now on. And they know that there are troubles in the future. There are problems. Everybody has problems, and some worse than others. But it's as if somehow all those problems are rolled up into one great big ball, and they've got to handle it because they contemplated it, and now they've got to do something about it. But you can't do that. You can't handle all of life's problems at once. Usually, life sends us our problems one or two at a time. You know, just a few. And life only comes to us a day at a time. Or we might have to break it down into an hour at a time. But God gives us strength for the day. Tomorrow, it hasn't come. It may not come. Or it may come and we may not be here. And so, as Jesus says, be not anxious for the morrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Seek God's kingdom first. Make sure that you're right with God, and then you won't worry about tomorrow. Sometimes people talk about being a procrastinator. And usually being a procrastinator is not a good thing, because that means you put off doing things, important things, until they become emergency things, and then you're trying to pull it out of the fire to save it. But if you are going to worry, be a procrastinator about that. Put off worrying until the last minute. It'll help you. You'll sleep better. Worry, of course, is unnecessary. As Jesus said, our Heavenly Father knows our needs, and He's been providing for them all along. You know, worry tends to grow rather than lessen as well. The more we practice it, the better we get at it. And that's a skill that we should not develop, is worrying. You can consume your whole day and your whole night with worrying, but also worrying is cruel. The Bible says, be not anxious. Don't worry. Jesus knows what he's doing when he tells us to seek God's kingdom first, but also it's futile. It doesn't accomplish anything. Worry's been likened to sitting and rocking in a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there and rocks. And that's what we do when we worry, is that we just push ourselves back and forth and never really get anywhere. Worry, of course, is an indication of a lack of faith. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, again, Jesus says, "But if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Jesus says that when you worry, it's an indication of a small faith. We need to also be careful about human reasoning. God gave us minds, but sometimes our minds can undermine our sense of peace. When we fret and stew and think about and try to calculate and all these other things that are concerning some worry, and that's usually something we can't do anything about. It's in the future. We're hopeless now. It undermines faith. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." But it's so easy to let our hearts be troubled by things that we need to give to God. But sometimes worry can even lead to sin. First of all, again, it's a disregard of God's command. Didn't Paul say in Philippians 4, 6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If you got a concern, rather than worry about it, take it to God, hand it over to him. As 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, let him have it." And also, worry can deter us from our duty, and it's a waste of time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." When we use our energy and our time in worrying about something, especially something we can't do anything about, that time is lost. That opportunity for doing God's will is lost. Worry can also impair your health. You ever hear the saying, "He worried himself sick"? Well, I believe it's a true saying that we can cause ourselves physical harm by allowing anxiety to rule in our lives. And it can raise our blood pressure. It can cause fatigue. Some people can break out in hives. They develop ulcers, even mental disorders. All this can be developed from worry. And psychiatry is flourishing because of people who worry. And it's a robber. It steals our joy and our happiness and our peace. It's been described as a word that means to strangle. It's like a wolf that catches its victim, and it catches it by the throat, and it squeezes on the throat and cuts off the air. And sometimes we might feel that way when we're really struggling over something that's causing us to worry, that we just can't get a clear breath. The Bible tells us rather to rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. But also I suggest to you that worry can hinder our prayers. In James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." The things that we are concerned about are things that we need to tell God about. And that will sort of lift that burden from our shoulders. Whereas if we just keep it to ourselves and we keep stewing over it, it's going to cause us to not turn to God. So what do we do about worry? Well, first thing is to make up your mind to conquer it. The things that we really want to achieve success over, we can, but we've got to decide to do so. And don't allow anxiety to push you around. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been as happy as I have made my mind to be." He was a man who knew great sorrows. A lot of things happened in Lincoln's life that were so discouraging. And he, saw the country through the Civil War. But his comment was that really it had to do with what I had decided in my own mind. But also, we need to form the right relationships with God. Philippians 4, 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There is a peace that God will give us if we will allow him to bear those burdens of worry and concern. We do what we can, and then turn the rest over to God. And oftentimes, if we're doing what we can, we will be busy and not have the time to worry about it. Do your best, do what you can, and leave the rest to God. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." But also, live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 again, Jesus said, "Be not anxious for tomorrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There's enough problems today to deal with, to keep you busy, doing the right thing, helping and being a blessing, and of course, being devoted to God and spending time in prayer. You don't have time to sit and suffer anxiety over problems. But also be engaged in purposeful work. One of the great benefits of work is that it occupies our thoughts and doesn't give room for those anxious feelings to develop. We notice in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, "And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." He gave Adam work to do because he knew that, well, something that we sometimes say is an idle mind is a mind in distress. Adam needed things to do to occupy his time and to occupy his mind, and we're not any different. We need to find those things that are productive and useful and that can build the kingdom of God and get ourselves involved in them so that we do have concerns, but that they take their proper place in our lives and don't dominate them. Again, there's another saying, "He was a wise man who said that he had no time for worry, for in the daytime he was too busy, and at night he was too sleepy." The working man's sleep is sweet because he's tired. And the person who doesn't engage in productive activity, when he goes to bed, he tosses and turns because he's not really tired enough to go to bed. So if you want to avoid anxiety, be busy. Fears are real. And there's certainly things to be afraid of, but we need to master them and not let them master us. Jesus said, "Be not therefore anxious." And we need to do what Jesus said. God is not worried. He knows what's going on. He's taking care of things. He's going to work things out for us. All we have to do is be faithful to Christ. And the day will come when we'll be with him in heaven. And there won't be any concerns there. Worries will be long forgotten and behind us. So let's look forward to that day rather than stewing over problems that might have our concerns now. Perhaps there is something the person should be concerned about, and that is if they've not obeyed the gospel. If you're not in Christ, you really have something to worry about because Jesus is coming. And he is coming like the overwhelming flood all of a sudden. And you need to do something about that. You need to do something now. And that is, of course, to put your faith in him, repent of sin, confess that faith, be buried with him in baptism, so that you can rise to walk in the new life in Christ and not need to worry. As a Christian, and you say you've been unfaithful, you have something to worry about. Jesus is coming, and you can do something about it. You can repent, and you can ask God to forgive, and he's promised to do so. So our song of encouragement's for you. If you're subject to Christ's invitation, won't you respond as we stand and as we sing?